Welcome, everyone. Today we're doing a really focused exploration, looking closely at just one source, the Sunday sermon from October 26th, 2025. It was titled, Happy Are the Harassed.
That's right. A powerful message.
It really tackled that final beatitude in Matthew chapter 5, and it gives such a crucial way to think about joy and, well, conflict in our lives as believers.
Absolutely. And our mission today really is just to pull out the core insights from Brother Steve's message on Matthew 5, verses 10 through 12. We want to get clear on what it means to be promised happiness, that word Makarios, when, let's face it, we're often facing hostility.
It's about finding the roadmap, isn't it?
Exactly. A roadmap for believers navigating these, well, challenging times.
And you know what struck me right away? Even before the sermon itself, the foundation he laid with the hymn introduction, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing.
Oh, yes.
They really spent some time on that word, Ebenezer.
Hmm. Such a potent choice to set the mood.
Yeah.
Ebenezer.
Yeah.
The stone Samuel set up. It means the Lord has helped us.
Right. From 1 Samuel.
It establishes this bedrock idea. Victory comes when we turn back to God. And that divine help isn't just, you know, waiting at the finish line. It's available right in the middle of the struggle.
That's so important.
It really is. I mean, if you're about to talk about harassment being inevitable, starting with God's past faithfulness, it just grounds everything, doesn't it?
It totally does. Okay, so let's jump into the sermon's main point. The core premise. Jesus actually teaches how to be happy.
Right. Makarios.
Which kind of challenges the assumption some people have that Christianity is, well, all about being miserable.
Exactly.
But then you look at the requirements in those first seven Beatitudes, things like meekness, mourning over sin, self-sacrifice. They sound so counterintuitive.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of difficult.
Well, that's a beautiful paradox, isn't it?
Yeah.
Jesus lays out God's standard for happiness, Makarios, and it's fundamentally the opposite of the world standard.
How so?
Well, worldly happiness is all about getting things right. Look at what I got. Give me. It's acquisition. But divine happiness, it requires letting go, admitting you need God.
Rare.
Radical self-sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
It means, like you said, mourning our own sinfulness before we can experience God's comfort.
Mm. So the world offers maybe momentary pleasure.
Fleeting, yeah.
But living God's way guarantees real, lasting happiness, even if that path feels harder sometimes.
Precisely. And Brother Steve made this connection that just ties it all together perfectly. He argued that if you are truly living out those first seven Beatitudes.
Being meek, merciful, a peacemaker.
Right. If you're doing that authentically, you will automatically trigger the eighth Beatitude.
Persecution.
Persecution or harassment. Living Christ's way becomes the sort of unavoidable cause of conflict with the world.
Wow. Okay, that leads us straight into the next section then. The inevitability of this conflict. Matthew 5.012 gives two specific reasons, right? For righteousness' sake and for my meaning Christ's name's sake. And I did notice, like you mentioned, his shift in language, using harassed instead of always saying persecuted.
Yeah, I thought that was interesting too.
It makes it feel more immediate. Relevant to maybe smaller daily things, not just, you know, big historical traumas.
It does make it more tangible, I think. And the core question becomes, why? Why does the world react with hostility when it encounters the word of God or people living it out? The sermon pointed back to John 15, verse 21. The conflict arises because, fundamentally, they do not know him who sent me.
They don't know God.
Right. And Jesus' own righteousness. His very being exposed the sin and, frankly, the corruption around him. And exposure often breeds hatred. People don't like having their darkness illuminated.
That makes sense. But here's a question. How do we know if the pushback we get is genuinely for righteousness' sake and not just because, well, maybe we're being tactless or judgmental?
Yeah, that's such an important distinction to make. And the sermon really stressed the point the persecution has to be for righteousness' sake. If you are genuinely trying to live rightly, humbly, obediently, and people still attack you or push back, then it's likely not about you personally. It's about Christ in you that they're reacting to. That's why those historical examples are so helpful, I think.
Like the story he told about Savonarola, the 15th century reformer.
What a dramatic, almost unbelievable story. Savonarola's whole mission in Florence was just to preach against sin and corruption. Pure and simple.
And he was effective, right? Led to some revival.
Incredibly effective, for a time. A real moral and religious awakening happened. But his reward for being faithful, for being truly salty in his witness, they burned him at the stake.
Just unbelievable.
That extreme reaction, that hatred for righteousness itself, That's proof of the beatitude, wouldn't you say?
It certainly seems so. And it makes that next quote from the sermon, well, it makes it incredibly challenging for us today. He said, because the church looks so much like the world, we're hardly ever persecuted.
Oof. Yeah, that one lands hard.
The implication being, if we're living comfortably, without any real friction, without any harassment, maybe, just maybe, it signals we've compromised somewhere along the way.
That's the truth bomb, isn't it? It really forces some self-examination. If our presence doesn't cause some sting like salt in a wound, if we aren't illuminating any darkness, then maybe we're not being salt and light at all. Maybe we're just bland and hidden.
Tasteless and hidden. That's a sobering thought.
It is. And, you know, facing that kind of challenge, that potential for conflict, that naturally makes people want to retreat, pull back.
Sure. Hide away.
Yeah. Whether it's historical movements like monasticism or just us today mentally checking out from difficult family members or colleagues, the instinct is self-preservation. But Jesus, he forbids retreat.
Right. He gives us that command, that mandate in Matthew 5, verses 13 and 14. We are called to be salt and light.
Can't avoid it.
And like the sermon pointed out, salt preserves, yes, but it also stings when you put it on an open wound. And light, while light is useless if it's hidden under a bushel basket, our very function demands we be out there, applied to the world.
And when you connect that mandate with the reality of persecution, well, the deeper meaning of the word witness just becomes crystal clear. The sermon highlighted that word study, didn't it? The Greek word for witness in John 15.27 and Acts 1.8. It's martatis.
Ah, martitis, where we get our English word martyr.
Exactly.
So being a witness isn't just telling your story. It implies, well, it implies being willing to pay the price, potentially the ultimate price.
It completely reframes our whole idea of mission, doesn't it?
It really does.
It means we can't just build a safe little Christian bubble and stay inside. We're commanded to go out into the unsaved world, our families, our workplaces, our schools, our communities, and as he put it, speak the truth.
So the church gathering itself, it's not the destination.
Not the safe house, no. He described it more like a fuel stop. It's where we get equipped, encouraged, refueled to go back out on mission outside the walls.
It is good to see that call being lived out in practical ways. I was thinking about the Operation Christmas Child Drive.
Oh, absolutely.
That's a perfect example. It's not just sending toys, is it? The whole point, the most important part, Brittany, the new leader, emphasized, is getting the message of Jesus in every single box.
Using that physical gift as a vehicle for the gospel.
Exactly. Being salt and light in communities far away, it really embodies doing the work, not just staying comfortable where we are. Those boxes were due back the 9th. Collection starts the 16th. Just great to see that happening.
It truly is.
Okay, so let's shift to the payoff. If we embrace this path, the hardship, the harassment, the cost of being salt and light, what's the compensation? Jesus promises it. He says it twice in the passage. Blessed, blessed, happy, 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 because theirs is the kingdom of heaven.
That repetition just hammers it home, doesn't it? The sheer weight and certainty of the promise. And Brother Steve was really clear about the nature of this reward. It's incomparable. Any earthly comfort, any status, any wealth, any safety we might forfeit by following Christ closely, it just pales in comparison to God's kingdom. The reward is literally infinite, infinitely greater.
That's the perspective check we all need, I think. Daily sometimes. And it connects back to that starting point, doesn't it? Ebenezer, the Lord has helped us.
Yes.
The same God who helps us endure the struggle is the one guaranteeing this incredible reward. The cost is known. It's factored in.
Absolutely. I mean, think about the Apostle Paul. Look at everything he went through, shipwrecks, beatings, imprisonment. Yet he kept that eternal perspective. He wrote in Romans 8:8 that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed to us.
His suffering was real, undeniably real.
But in his eyes, it was infinitely outweighed by the glory that was coming.
So the sermon implied that those who are harassed or persecuted for righteousness are, in a way, double blessed.
Exactly right. That was a key point. There's a blessing now and a blessing later.
Okay, break that down.
Well, first, there's the bliss, makarios, of obedience to Christ right now. True joy, deep happiness, is found when we're aligned with God's will. Even when it's hard. Remember that challenge he threw out. If you're moping around and you ain't got no joy, your problem is you ain't got enough obedience.
Wow. Okay, so joy is a direct byproduct of obedience, even amidst difficulty.
That's the idea. And then second, there's the future bliss, the coming reality of the eternal kingdom, seeing the Son of God face to face, reigning with him forever. that ultimate reward.
So it truly reframes persecution. It's not God punishing us. It's almost like evidence, evidence of our obedience and a guarantee of our future inheritance.
Well said. The message gives us this profound assurance.
Yeah. Embracing Christ's principles fully will likely lead to conflict in this life, but that very conflict is linked to and guarantees a reward so immense it makes any struggle here seem, well, almost trivial in the long run.
So as we wrap up our thoughts on Happy Are the Harassed, that final challenge Brother Sleeve gave during the altar call, it really just encapsulates the whole thing, doesn't it? Oh, absolutely. It's the ultimate point for self-examination for all of us listening.
Yeah.
He basically laid it out there. If we see no persecution in our life, we're doing one of two things.
What were they?
We're just not talking to people about Jesus.
What?
Or, and this is the really stark one, we might need to get saved.
Wow. That forces the listener right back to confronting your own life, your own comfort level.
It does.
Are you comfortable because maybe you've blended in too much? Are you being salty enough to actually cause a sting sometimes? Is your light shining brightly enough to expose any darkness? Is your life generating that kind of friction that proves you're actually living by the Beatitudes?
It's the vital question, isn't it?
Yeah.
The narrow way, the way of the Beatitudes, it guarantees hardship in this world.
Yeah.
But it's the only path that promises that deep, abiding, incomparable happiness, Makarios, both now and forever.
Well, thank you for walking through this essential message with us. It's given us a lot to think about. And we really invite you, the listener, to continue reflecting on this concept, how embracing the harassment of this life can actually lead to the true happiness of the next.
Yeah.
Until next time.